Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast. This is Season 1, Episode 13. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. And if you've just started to listen, welcome aboard. Well, we're at the end of Season 1. I had intended to do another show dedicated to answers to any questions I've received, but I think I can cover most of these in today's show. So, unfortunately, I'm going to end on the unlucky number 13 for Season 1. I'm ending the season a bit early for a couple of reasons. The first reason is another lockdown in the UK because of COVID virus. And this means I'm not going to have the peace and quiet required to record a show, and it's quickly approaching the holiday season. Therefore, I'm going to end Season 1 and return next year for Season 2. I haven't yet made the show schedule for Season 2, so if you're interested in hearing about something in particular, please email me at rick@autodidactic.info. If you'd like me to expand on anything we've already discussed in Season 1, I'm happy to do that as well. Today I'm going to talk about getting qualifications or certifications for things that you're self-studying. So this is a difficult topic to cover in detail, since I don't actually know what you may be studying. However, I'm going to give some examples of qualifications and certifications and testing which you can do in topics which with I'm familiar, and hopefully you'll be able to apply what I'm saying to the area that you're studying. So professional qualifications are vocational training courses related to a specific industry or career path, and they typically are regulated and awarded by the relevant professional bodies and are designed to ensure that everyone employed in a particular job meets the minimum required standards for professional expertise. The first example that I'm going to give is related to information technology. So previously I'd mentioned that surveys indicate 60% of all programmers are self-taught. Many project managers or other IT professionals are also self-taught, and then they take a relevant certification test in order to prove their knowledge to a standard. And some examples of these are PRINCE2 project management, TOGAF technical architect training, Microsoft certified engineer, and many, many others. So these are all examples of vocational training courses. Now, some jobs in the UK, for example, a professional qualification is required. For example, to work as a qualified solicitor, you must take the legal practice course, the LPC, and to become a chartered accountant, you need to pass all of the relevant examinations. There are some form of professional qualifications available in most industries. In the UK, these include things like the Association of Chartered Accountants, BCS, the Chartered Institute for IT, the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, the Institution of Civil Engineers, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors. And this is just a small selection. There are many, many more. So you can get courses, vocational courses in HR, management, marketing, sales training, social work, travel or tourism, and many others. The entry requirements for professional courses depend on the qualification and what qualification leads to. Many professional bodies offer a different level of vocational training suitable for school leavers, graduates, or experienced professionals. So typically when you complete one exam, you then become eligible to work toward another qualification at a higher level. So possessing some relevant work experience or having a demonstrable interest in the subject is often very essential. Well, so how do you find about some of these? Well, in the UK, you can contact the Federation of Awarding Bodies, FAB, which is a trade association for professional awarding organizations, and it offers a wealth of information and contacts. If you're not in the UK, search for trade organizations in the area in which you're studying and see who may award a qualification or certification. Now, another area where you might gain qualification is languages. So, for example, there's the DELF exam for French, the HSK examinations for Mandarin Chinese. And there's loads of other language proficiency examinations, which will give you a standard mark or level, which you can then use as your official, quote-unquote, level in the language. And you can use this on CVs or resumes or however. Now, outside of vocational training or language certification, what can you do to apply your self-study toward a degree program? Now, in the USA, you can get college credits using CLEP testing. CLEP stands for College Level Examination Program, and it's a series of tests administered by the College Board. So what exactly are CLEP tests? They're exams that test your knowledge on a variety of academic subjects. And many colleges and universities will give you credit towards a degree for each CLEP test you pass. And CLEP examinations are much cheaper than the full college course, and with the right CLEP tests and undergraduate program, you could, in theory, get your degree in as little as a year. But you must find a university which accepts CLEP testing, because there's no point in taking CLEP tests if you can't transfer your passing scores to a credit. Many countries will have similar programs or systems for allowing you to bypass courses in favor of self-study. And as I said previously, many MOOCs, or Massive Open Online Courses, will allow credit if you're signed up for that university. It might be you've decided to do a self-study course through what we used to call mail-order courses, although nowadays they call it distance learning, which gives a qualification at the end. And in the UK, you can even get a degree completely through distance learning from the Open University. So, although it is difficult for me to give anything other than general guidelines, hopefully you can see that there are many different ways to have your self-learning and autodidactic work recognized by the rest of the world through some type of testing. But remember, it isn't always necessary to have a qualification to become a recognized expert. A simple example of this was my father, who, although he never had any qualifications as a car mechanic or any formal training, managed to have just about everybody we knew around to our house anytime there was a problem with their car. And this is because he just loved to work on cars and through self-learning had taught himself everything he needed to know to repair a car. Now, I'm sure you can think of somebody who's a recognized subject matter expert without formal qualifications in the same way. So that covers just about everything I can think of regarding getting qualifications as a self-learner. So I'll move on now to some of the questions I've had from listeners. The main questions I've had tend to boil down to, what have you taught yourself? Well, I've taught myself quite a bit over the years by self-learning. I've alluded to some of this in previous podcasts, and I don't really want to toot my own horn, but since you've asked, I've taught myself French and Italian to a pretty good level over a number of years, and I'm currently studying Mandarin Chinese. I administer a language learners forum, I'll put the link in the show notes, and so I get lots of advice and assistance on language learning. And if you'd like to learn another language, then I highly suggest you take advantage of all the great advice, the lists of resources that are available on that forum. And it's all free, there's no advertisements or anything like that, so just make use of it if you can. I've also taught myself a lot of programming languages over the years, so many, in fact, that I've probably forgotten a few that I did learn but didn't list. But things I've taught myself include assembler, C, C++, Java, JavaScript, Rust, Perl, Python, TCLTK, and a load of database stuff, you know, SQL, PSQL, etc. I've taught myself lean management, which used to be called the Toyota method. But I needed to learn this at one of my jobs, and to do this, I read every book or article or resource on the subject I could find for over a year. I mean, I was averaging 5 to 10 books a week on the subject until I knew just about everything there was to know or that I could find out. Another question I've gotten is related to this, which is, what are you studying right now? Well, right now I'm teaching myself some basic electronics. I'm doing ARM CPU assembler programming. I'm learning Flutter app programming and Mandarin Chinese. I also have an entire bookshelf of math books, ranging from basic math to calculus and discrete mathematics. And I'm slowly making my way through these books, doing 15 or 20 minutes each day. So you can see that I really do practice what I preach. And the final question I want to cover is one that came in recently. Francois asked, "I've tried mnemonics, but I still struggle to remember the stuff that I'm reading. How can I improve my retention?" There are a couple things you can do, some of which I've covered before, but just to emphasize, they are to take notes about what you're reading, or write notes in the margins or in notebooks as you read. Make up questions about what you're going to read and try and find the answers while you're reading it. Read out loud if you can. It frequently helps with retention. So if you're confined somewhere where you won't be disturbed, try and read out loud. Try and read at night. According to some studies, retention is better if you read in the evening and the reading is processed while you sleep. Where possible, try and use physical books rather than ebooks. Some studies have indicated that readers forget more of what they read in an ebook than they do what they read in a physical book. If you're going to use an ebook, try and get an ebook reader that will read to you, because some of these programs like FB Reader will read the text out to you, and so it's a built-in audiobook. Always skim through what you're going to read, checking out the headings and making up questions before you start reading. Read in smaller chunks. Don't read 10 chapters a day, read 10 pages, and then try and suck out all the information you can from those few pages, because bite-sized is better. Try and summarize in your own words what you've just read, and you can do this at the end of each page, just say out loud what that page was about. And always try and quiz yourself on what you've read. So that's it for season one. I hope you enjoyed the show and the rest of the podcast, and I look forward to returning in the new year. Meanwhile, I hope you have a wonderful time of studying and learning while we're apart. And I'd really like to gather listener feedback about the shows, and I'm interested in hearing about what you'd like me to discuss in season two. So as always, email me at rick@autodidactic.info, or if you have a comment, you can just leave it on the website, https://autodidactic.info. Okay, I'll see you next year, season two.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.